The bishops of the United States have issued a call to action to defend religious liberty and urge the laity to work to protect the first freedom of America's Bill of Rights. They outlined their position in a new document entitled Our First, Most Cherished Freedom. The new document was prepared by the USCCB's Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty. We spoke to newly appointed Archbishop of Baltimore, William Laurie, the chairman of the committee, about the new document.
The bishops have put forth a document on religious liberty which aims to both inform and inspire so that lay men and women can understand the church's teaching on religious liberty and take their rightful role in defending the first of our liberties as both believers and citizens, and to do so not simply in the face of short-term threats and challenges, but to do so over the long term. And that's really the aim of our press release and new document.
Archbishop Laurie, the press release starts out talking about some of the challenges to religious liberty that that the bishops have identified. Could you speak to those a little bit?
The challenges are multiple to religious liberty around the world, of course, as our Holy Father has noted, but also in the United States. Chief among them, perhaps the most pressing, is the Health and Human Services mandate that would force the church to provide or to fund or facilitate services that are against the church's teaching and would grant exemptions only if the church accepts an unacceptable and narrow definition of her mission. There are other sorts of threats, though, as well. For example, a refusal to provide licenses for adoption and foster care unless the church bends and violates its teaching with regard to marriage and family. There are further challenges that have come to religious liberty in the form of trying to force healthcare institutions to violate their teaching with regard to the so-called morning after pill. And then, of course, there's a whole area of individual employers who want to run their businesses according to Christian principles, and their rights are being curtailed as well. So this is just a sampling, and I might also mention there are immigration bills at the state level that would also penalize the church for providing pastoral services to immigrants. And so this is not simply a Democratic or a Republican problem. It is really a problem that is across the board, and it is something we really have to address long term.
And Your Excellency, a lot of the issues raised here speak to the question of what is the role of the church in a pluralistic modern democracy like the United States. What are you fighting for? What's at stake here?
We are fighting for two things. Number one, we certainly have a right to raise our voice in the public square, to bring convictions born of faith and reason to bear on the national debate. Secondly, to be able to form our own members of our church as citizens and believers who themselves can make their contribution to the common good. And thirdly, to be able to address services which are born of the proclamation of the word and the celebration of the sacraments, to deliver services in the area of education and health care according to the faith that inspired these works in the first place, and not to have the government tell us that we must do things that violate our teaching and our consciences. So that's in a nutshell what we're seeking here. We are not seeking a new liberty. We are not trying to expand our liberties. We are not trying to tell the government what to do. We are simply asking the government not to tell us what to do.
And you mentioned earlier this is not a Democratic or a Republican problem. Nonetheless, you're certainly going to be criticized for being partisan in an election year. How do you respond to that criticism?
First, we didn't go looking for this fight. What we want to do is to proclaim the faith, celebrate the sacraments, and to deliver our services of education and charity. And we'd like to do that whether it's an election year or not. We didn't also choose the timing of this fight. This was imposed upon us. And thirdly, we are not seeking to make statements that are partisan in nature. We think that this is not a partisan fight. We think this is something that is of great concern to all Americans, and we think it is of great concern to all people of religion. And so that would be my reply to those who accuse us of trying to play election year politics. We're not doing it. We're simply trying to make sure that we do not, in the heat of a political year, surrender our liberties, which do not come from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
And Archbishop, towards the end of your press release, you issue a call to action, I think especially to Catholics, but also to citizens in our country. You've called for a fortnight for freedom for the two-week period from the 21st to the 4th. What specifically can people do to stand up and express their desire to preserve our religious liberties and our religious freedoms?
First and foremost is to pray. With prayer and with the Lord's grace, everything becomes possible. And so I would first of all ask for prayers from believers everywhere, but most especially from Catholics in the United States. And, of course, the Fortnight of Freedom comes as a run-up toward July 4th, which is, of course, Independence Day. And, you know, there's some wonderful feast days in there. For example, let's just take one. You know, Thomas More and John Fisher are in there. So we should really take advantage of that time to pray and to pray well. Secondly, it's so important that we Catholics be well informed about the Church's teaching in Dignitatis Humanae on religious liberty, and also the founding ideals of the United States of America, and the protection that the Bill of Rights seeks to offer to the God-given gift of religious liberty. And so being informed is tremendously important of the fundamentals. Thirdly, to learn about the specific issues and threats so that as citizens and believers, we understand what these current modern-day palpable threats are, the ones that are overt and the ones that are more subtle. And fourthly, this is a participatory democracy. And so we as believers and citizens need to engage. We need to let our elected officials know day in and day out that this is of concern to us, that this is going to affect how we think about the future of our country, that we will not forget about this at the ballot box, and that I think we need to tell our leaders that they too need to reassess their stance with regard to religious liberty and get behind the full-bodied defense of this most fundamental of our liberties.
Thank you, Archbishop Laurie. Is there anything else you'd like to add this morning?
I'd simply like to add how grateful I am for the beautiful statements that Pope Benedict has made with regard to religious liberty when the bishops of the Mid-Atlantic region came to on Ad Limina. The Holy Father addressed the most beautiful discourse to them, and he's done so on several other occasions. And I would also like to express my deep admiration for the Holy Father's stout defense of those who are being persecuted around the world for religious reasons. One of the reasons we want to keep the flame of religious liberty bright in the United States is so that we can be of service to those who are being persecuted around the world, even at the cost of their lives.